Morning, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Precious Father, Lord, we come before your throne this morning, Lord. We humble ourselves before you, for you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You rule over all the nations of the world. The Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. So we come, Father God, knowing that you're in control. We come seeking spiritual bread from you, Father God. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and may your voice be heard. Give me clarity of thought and speech. Only the mistakes will be mine. May you receive all praise and honor and glory. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. This morning's message is entitled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Here at Porterville Church, I'm the leader in the religious liberty department, and so since it's the 4th of July, we thought it'd be a good time to keep liberty of conscience before the congregation. This year, we wanted to try to keep it before the congregation a little bit more consistently. My objective this morning is to promote awareness of liberty. And see liberty as an attribute of God's character. My brother just read in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. One of the things Christ came to do was to proclaim liberty. And so we're going to take a little closer look at liberty this morning. To understand liberty, we must understand government. For it is government that ensures our liberty, and it's government that can infringe upon our liberties. Just this week, we celebrated the 242nd birthday of our nation, and therefore our government. So it's appropriate that we look back at this time at the birth certificate of our nation, the Declaration of Independence. I believe that the founders of our nation, while not denominationally united, were inspired by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in writing both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence starts with the illuminated words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Unalienable rights. What is an unalienable right? An alien is someone who's foreign, who's somewhere else, who's not here. Unalienable is someone who is here. Able means, so if something's unalienable, that means that you are unable to separate it from a person. So an unalienable right is a right that no one can separate from us. And the reason being is because it was God-given. The unalienable rights that are listed in the Declaration of Independence were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is not an exhaustive list. These are not all the liberties. But these are the three main liberties that Thomas Jefferson chose to highlight. He borrowed from John Locke, who described life, liberty, and property as the three most important of these attributes. In Romans 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained by God." The powers that be, that's our government. That's what Paul is talking about here. So governments are ordained by God, and they're ordained by God to protect our inalienable rights. At least that's their purpose. That's all governments. Even Vladimir Putin in Russia is accountable to God. Xi Jinping in China, communist China, is accountable to God. Kim Jong-un is accountable to God for the people under his rules' inalienable rights. There are people and governments who would deny you liberty if they could, and they do in many parts of our world. Most of them are socialists, democratic socialists, and communists. They have governments that give you things, but in exchange, they take your liberty. One of those things that they take is liberty. So what is the nature of liberty? Well, it starts with God, because God is eternal. He has no beginning, and he has no end. The scriptures teach that God is love, and love requires liberty of conscience. Jesus was God incarnate, God in the flesh. So Jesus, in a sense, is the embodiment of liberty. Liberty is not all that Jesus is, but one aspect of who he is liberty. So if Jesus has been around forever, that means liberty has been around forever. Liberty has been around before the United States. Liberty has been around before Russia. Liberty has been around before Eden. The director of public affairs and religious liberty of for the Worldwide SCA Church, Dr. Ghanoun Diop, points out that religious liberty extends even further. It is an umbrella under which many other freedoms are covered. Religious liberty covers many other liberties: freedom of thought, freedom of opinion, freedom of choice, freedom of expression, freedom to share one's beliefs, freedom of assembly, freedom to build institutions to promote one's faith, freedom to wear symbols to signify one's faith, freedom to transmit one's beliefs and values to one's children, freedom to celebrate sacred times, such as the Sabbath, or sacred space, or sacred objects. True Christian freedom goes way beyond anything that we've ever seen experienced in this world, or anything that this world has to offer. No nation has succeeded to model religious liberty perfectly or comprehensively. Only at the second coming of Christ will true religious freedom be experienced. Freedom from harassment, freedom from fear, freedom from indignity, freedom from war, and yes, freedom from death. It was this type of liberty that God respected in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were at liberty to obey or not to obey. And it is this liberty that is extended to us today. I hope no one forced you to come to church. You came of your own free will. You came of your own liberty. Unless, of course, you're under the age of accountability. And then a little coercion is appropriate, amen? But for us adults, we came of our own free will. This liberty, among other things, answers the puzzling question, why did God allow sin? The liberty of conscience and love are inseparable. Christian philosopher Norman Geisler expressed it well when he stated, apparently God would rather wrestle with stubborn human wills than reign supreme over rocks and trees. As Seventh-day Adventists, it would serve us well to remember that this eternal liberty, which is such a precious gift from God, liberty of conscience, is not just for Adventists. It's for Muslims. It's for Buddhists. It's for homosexuals. It's for Catholics. Our church's religious liberty department is not just for Adventists. I'm quoting Dr. Gannon again. It helps anyone who needs it, whether or not a member of our own church with religious liberty conflicts. Our religious liberty department helps anyone whose liberty of conscience is being denied. Jesus loved Judas right up until the end, even though he knew Judas would betray him. On the cross, though dying, Jesus prayed, even for his enemies. There's no room for hatred in religious freedom. Humans are free, even to disobey God. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Religious liberty also extends to God. Have you ever thought about that? He offers liberty to us. Do we reciprocate that same liberty back to God? God could be whoever he wants to be, but he's chosen to be love. Aren't we fortunate? When we pray for something and we claim our request, name it and claim it, they say, we are denying God of his liberty. We need to pray and preface it with, may thy will be done. Because otherwise we are making God into our image instead of respecting who God is and letting God be God. Job was respecting God when he said, if he slay me, yet will I serve him. The Hebrew worthies were respecting God's liberty when they told Nebuchadnezzar, our God will deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We need to let God be God. Amen. And Jesus respected God's liberty in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, let this cup pass from my lips if it be possible, but nevertheless, may thy will be done. You see, God accepts us just as we are, and we need to accept God just as he is and not try to change him. When we impose our will on God, we are infringing on his liberty and trying to change him. And God doesn't need changing. Trust God to do what's best when you seek him in prayer. He's always going to do what's best for your eternal good. Ellen White says that when we get to heaven and we look back at our lives, we will not have it any other way than the way it unfolded. But we'll be seeing it from a divine perspective then. So where do we find liberty of conscience in the sanctuary. One of the things I always try to do is when I'm studying something, I always try to look at it in light of the sanctuary. Whenever you find a doctrine, I like to try to find it in the sanctuary, because one of the reasons God gave us the sanctuary is to help us to avoid false doctrine, to help us to make sure. Psalm 77, the Bible says, "Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary," and the sanctuary can keep us on track in terms of some of our beliefs. So I said, "Lord, where's religious liberty in the sanctuary?" And if you can picture the sanctuary, how many are familiar with the sanctuary, what it looks like? Amen? In the sanctuary, there was a curtain around the outside. When you first come to the sanctuary, the first thing you see is the gate where you can come in. You'd bring a lamb, you come in through the gate, and then you'd see an altar, then you'd see a laver of water, and then you'd see the tabernacle per se. If you're familiar, if anything, you are drawn, when you enter that gate of the sanctuary, no one pushes you in. No one ties a rope around you and drags you in. Oh, they found it. That's good. So, well, if you can go a few slides ahead to the sanctuary. I'm seeing it here, but not there. Okay. Okay, this is a sanctuary. As a matter of fact, this is the one my wife and I went and saw, that one in Bakersfield. They had it set up. And there you have the curtain representing Christ's righteousness. Those pillars are made of bronze. They represent you and me. They hold up Christ's righteousness. And from the outside, all people see is the white. And that's how we are in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. And when you went in, you can't really see it right here, but there's a gate. If you go to the next slide, I made sort of a diagram. If you go in through the gate there, you go in of your own free will. And then the first item of furniture you see is the altar. The altar is where the lamb was slain for the forgiveness of sins. And so outside of the curtain is the world. When you come in that gate, that's like coming to church. When you go to the altar, that's like the altar call when you accept Christ. But the altar call, once again, that's religious liberty. You can accept it or you can neglect it. It's very sad to come in to that gate, go to the altar, and say no, and turn around and go back out. Everyone in the world is represented here. All the people outside of Christ are all outside that curtain. When you come to church, you're coming in that gate. When you accept Christ, you're answering the altar call. He's offering his blood for you, and you say yes. After that, there's a laver of water. After you accept Christ, you get baptized. And after you get baptized, once again, getting baptized is a free will decision by that person. After you get baptized, you can enter into the tabernacle per se, and you have the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the candlestick. The table of showbread, the bread represents the word of God. After you get baptized, you begin a life of reading the Bible. Jesus in the wilderness said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So that bread, that's your daily word, the Bible. You need to read the Bible every day. The altar of incense, that's prayer. Prayer and Bible study. Once you get baptized, and baptism is a daily occurrence. It's not a one-time thing. Every morning we fall back into the flesh. We need to wake up. We need to be born again every morning. We need to get on our knees. We need to crucify self. And we need to be born again. We need to study our Bible. We need to pray. And then our light can shine. All of these are voluntary acts. And so all through all through the sanctuary, you see it's a voluntary step, each step of the way. And even when you enter the tabernacle, you see the front of the tabernacle? If you made a line across the face of the tabernacle, it would divide the whole court into two halves, right? This half is the earth. This half is heaven. So once you get baptized and you enter a life of sanctification, guess what? You're in the kingdom of heaven. You've entered the kingdom of heaven. And you're studying. But now, many people teach. Now, here's how you can tell false doctrine. Many people teach that once you saved, always saved. Once you come in there, there's no way you can go back out. But if you can never leave back out, what has happened to your liberty? It's gone. If you're stuck there, no matter what you do, you're saved. That's liberty. That's taking away your liberty. But you can decide one day to leave the table of showbread. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. And you can go right back out into the world. That's everyone's choice. And God gives us that because he wants only those who love in return to his love. And so in the sanctuary, we see religious liberty being played out at every station of the sanctuary. As you have noticed, our free will is influenced by God, but it's not interfered with by God. The Holy Spirit draws you, but you have to respond with your own free will. God makes his case and leaves the decision to us. And this is a good lesson for us as we minister to others in winning souls. Jesus stands outside the door and knocks, but he waits for us to open the door and invite him to come in and to sup with us. Now, how do we fit in? As I mentioned, we have a religious liberty department right here at our church. How many have noticed that liberty of conscience is under attack today? You go around the certain people and have certain ideas, and you'll be under attack. You'll be denied services. You'll be harassed. You may even be physically attacked. Liberty of conscience is dwindling in our world today. According to CBN, that's the Christian Broadcasting Network, there's an assembly bill, 2943. It prohibits the advertising or selling of sexual orientation change efforts. In other words, it prohibits any advertising or selling of material where you're trying to convince somebody who's a homosexual to leave that lifestyle. Now, people, like I said before, people have a right to choose a homosexual lifestyle, but people also have a right to call it a sin. And people also have a right to try to convince them to come into another way of life. And the bill, obviously the Bible could fall under such efforts. The bill declares books and conferences dealing with biblical views on homosexuality or transgenderism as fraudulent under the state's consumer fraud statute. Ultimately, it could penalize those who encourage and promote biblical views on marriage and sex. The bill was approved by the state assembly and it's waiting for the Senate's approval to go to the governor's desk. These are some of the issues that are floating around and that the Religious Liberty Department is trying to influence. What can we do? Our church, in February, we'll have a religious liberty drive where we'll be promoting Liberty Magazine. It's a magazine that we send out to over 100 entities in the Porterville area. Some of those entities include KTIP Radio, the Porterville Recorder, the Chief of Police, courts, the police department, various public libraries, including public school libraries, civic leaders, chambers, and professionals, doctors, lawyers, dentists, and about 20 churches. We send Liberty Magazine to all of these entities. And some sponsored individuals. This is all made possible by donations. So we would just ask just to remember religious liberty during the year, and especially in February, because the more donations we get, the more magazines we can send out. We send them out for about $6 a magazine, so we sent over 100, so it's a little over $600 to cover that. You can give a general donation, with a sponsored individual. In other words, you could say, I want this person to receive Liberty Magazine. And Liberty Magazine deals with a lot of different issues under religious liberty. I didn't realize, I was reading Liberty Magazine. Did you know that Russia, Jehovah Witness are outlawed in Russia? Did you know that? The government closed down all kingdom halls, confiscated the property, and you could be arrested and given up to 10 years in prison for proselytizing under Jehovah Witness. And so these are events, I wasn't even aware of that, but I read that in Liberty Magazine. If you can go to the next slide, these are some of the resources that are available to you. Before I show those, or talk about those, legislative affairs under the Pacific Union Conference, when you're dealing with religious liberty issues, maybe Sabbath at your job or something, don't go to the Central Conference, go to the Pacific Union Conference, because that's the conference that deals more with religious liberty issues. They provide expert analysis to legislators on bills that impact religious freedom, monitoring legislation, including Sunday law issues, in the five states of the Pacific Union. They deal with legal affairs. They help anyone who needs help with religious liberty conflicts. If you're not sure, you just call them and they'll tell you if they can help you with your situation. Many of these involve Sabbath observance and workplace scheduling conflicts. There are grassroots organizations. They've organized the North American Religious Liberty Association, West. It's a regional chapter on the national organization to train and empower church members in effective advocacy on behalf of religious freedom. There's Freedom's Ring Radio. It was begun in 1999. Freedom's Ring is a weekly radio broadcast syndicated nationally, and it's devoted to religious liberty issues of the day. And in some of these websites I put up here, one of them, churchstate.org, this is their flagship website for religious liberty information and resources of religious freedom. If you have any issues, that would be maybe a starting point. Religiousliberty.info is the official website of the North American Religious Liberty Association, featuring state-of-the-art system for sending emails to Congress and state legislatures. The second one up there, if you want to send a message to a congressman or an assemblyman, that would be the one. They have an awesome website where you can click and get that message to Congress. InTheHeart.com, that's the newest website. It's devoted to religious liberty. And then there's one, they have religious liberty certification. And that's what I'm looking into, where they're gonna give me training and certification on religious liberties issues, because until I was asked, I really didn't know a lot about religious liberties. I knew about religious liberties in general, but I didn't know exactly about some of the things that our conference deals with and is involved in. And so, these are just some of the resources that you have. If you ever run into a problem with your job, and you think it might fit under some of these areas, just contact me, or if you jot down those websites, you can go straight there and get more information. So in closing, any sermon, I always like to open the doors of the church for anyone who wants to move forward. If you could go back to the sanctuary, if you notice in the sanctuary, there's a movement from right to left. You're getting closer and closer to God because God is right there in the most holy place. Our life should be moving that way, not that way. But each, like I said, each person in this world is identified there. Whoever you are, you can find yourself in the sanctuary. Me, I'm right there in the holy place, reading my Bible, praying, and letting my light shine day by day. That's the process of sanctification. If you've been walking with God, that's probably where you are. But maybe you just came to church. You came in the door, and you're at the altar. A person who has never accepted Christ is between the door and the altar. And their next decision needs to be to accept Christ. Maybe you've accepted Christ, but you've never been baptized. If that's the case, you're between the altar and the laver of water. And that your next decision is very clear of what God wants you to do. If you've been baptized, your next decision is entering into a life of Bible study and prayer. And that last curtain, when Christ comes again, the second coming, that curtain will go down and we'll be in the presence of God. That's our goal. And so let us bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to appeal primarily and to the person, maybe there's someone here today who has come in the gate. They've never accepted Christ, and they would like to accept him right now. What a shame it is to come in the gate and to stand before the altar and say no, and to turn away and walk back into the world. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I offer them the opportunity right now to do so and accept Christ in their heart. And maybe there's someone who has accepted Christ and they've never been baptized. If this is your case, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. It's not me. I'm not even a preacher. I'm just a school teacher. I'm just a Christian. But God has put a calling in my life. God has made it clear that I'm to share and invite people to accept Christ, that we're living in the last days, that God is calling people to come out of Babylon and to receive him. And if you're hearing the Holy Spirit, not me, but if you're hearing the Holy Spirit's voice this morning, and it's your desire to be baptized, I invite you to come up to this first pew and have a seat right here. And we'll make sure that you get Bible studies and the information that you need to know so that you can be baptized into God's church. Anyone under the sound of my voice, you've never been baptized. You've heard about Christ. You've come to church. You've even accepted Jesus. But you've never been to the next station of baptism. God is calling you there, not me. This is something that God has ordained. I invite you right now to come up to this pew and that we will see to it that you receive Bible studies. Now, the rest of us, Lord, some of us have entered into a life of Bible study and prayer, and we want our light to shine. All those who are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit day by day, we understand, Lord, that we need to have our morning devotion every day so that we can face an unsure world. If that's your situation, I invite you to just stand where you are as we have our closing prayer. You've accepted Christ. You've been baptized. You want to continue to walk with Jesus. You want to continue to study his word and be instructed in righteousness. You want to continue to do good works in a sinful world because you know that the second coming of our Lord is soon and very soon. And finally, Father God, we know that we're living in the last days. We know that one day we're going to look up, and one day these clouds are going to part, and we're going to see a little black space about the size of a man's fist, And it's going to grow brighter and brighter. And we're going to see the Lord return just the way he went up 2,000 years ago. And we pray, Father God, when Jesus comes again, that each person under the sound of my voice will be ready to receive him. They'll be able to look up and say, lo, this is my God. I have waited for him, and he will save me. We ask you and we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.